Whenever we're young, we're always looking forward to growing up, looking forward to passing examinations, looking forward to getting the driving license, looking forward to getting a job, looking forward perhaps to getting married. Being young and looking forward go together. Whenever we're older, we tend to look back. Look back to the people we knew, the places the way they used to be, the things we used to do. Maybe we look back and we talk about the good old days. And if you analyze them, in all honesty, they weren't maybe as good as we imagined them to do. But looking back is part and parcel of being older. And I know, because I'm now getting old. Being a Christian involves looking backwards and looking forwards at one and the same time. Looking back to the great facts of our faith, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect life amongst us, his dying on that cross, his rising again the third day, his ascending into heaven, all of these things in the past. But also looking forward to his coming again in glory. And so being a Christian involves us looking backwards with gratitude, but looking forward in hope and expectation. And it's with that latter thing that Jesus is dealing in John chapter 14. He's been telling his disciples that he's going away. That's meant that they're very sad, downcast, dispirited. But he tells them they're not to be worried and they're not to be troubled because he's coming again. And that's what we want to think about this morning, this forward aspect of our salvation. Let's note four things from John 14. First of all, the place where Jesus is. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And we ask, where? And we remind ourselves that our Lord Jesus Christ once came to our world, once lived in our world, once died in our world, but rose again the third day. And then he ascended. And that is the truth that we are particularly focusing upon on this Ascension Sunday. And it's a truth that we should never, never forget. The glorious, triumphant ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in that place which he calls here the Father's house, heaven itself. He is today at God's right hand in heaven. That place of and position of honor and splendor. He's exalted. Indeed, the Bible tells us he's highly exalted. And Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's exercising power and dominion. He is back in that place from which he came to our world in the very first place. And the glory that was his then, he has now reclaimed once more. And the power by which he made our world, he now wields once more. And because of who Jesus is, and because of where Jesus is, all the angels of heaven and all the redeemed already in the glory, they surround his throne and they worship and they praise and they adore their Redeemer in heaven. And we who are still on earth, made by him, redeemed by him, sustained by him, we should make the same response. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's in heaven, and he's to be worshipped. The promise Jesus gives, I will come again. He came once, a baby boy, weak, helpless, dependent as any other baby boy. And when he came, he was largely unknown, unrecognized. And whenever he began to preach and teach and carry out his ministry, he was opposed and he was persecuted, and eventually he was condemned and he was crucified. But whenever Jesus Christ comes again, things will be so very different, because he will come with power and great glory. All the holy angels will be with him. Every eye will see him, and all humanity will recognize him. He's Jesus Christ, the Lord. And whenever he comes a second time, his life will not be in the hands of men and women, and they will not do to him what they desire. Rather, it will be the other way round. The tables will be completely turned. Men and women will find themselves under the command and under the authority of Jesus as Lord. Because you see, whenever Jesus Christ comes back again, it will be to judge the world in righteousness. And my, how this sad and sinful and broken world of ours cries out for righteous judgment. Because now we see unrighteousness prevailing. Now we see wicked people prospering. Now we see ungodliness succeeding. Now we see the disobedient and the unbelieving at ease, happy, content. Now we see so many things that to our moral judgment are unreasonable, unfair, plainly wrong. But my friends, whenever Jesus comes again to judge all humanity in righteousness, on that great, final, awesome day, every man and every woman will be rewarded according to the their deserving. There will be no escaping the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no evading the Lord Jesus Christ, because all that we've ever said and all that we've ever done, indeed all that we've ever thought, is recorded in the books of heaven. And everyone will be judged according to what is written in the books. No evading. And what an awesome day that will be for all of those who are ungodly and outside of Jesus Christ. Their sin exposed, their unbelief brought to view, and many condemned and excluded from the presence of God, and that forever, because of their refusal to repent of their sin. That ought to cause us to tremble. I will come again. That is the promise that Jesus lives. And when he comes again, the ungodly can expect judgment. But the godly will be treated very differently. And that brings me to the third thing, the provision Jesus makes. In my Father's house, he says, are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ is in heaven today, and he's preparing a place there for every one of his own people. And one by one, he's calling them to take that place that he has prepared for them. And my Christian friends, let's remind ourselves that here in this world, we have no continuing city. There's a sense in which we are strangers here. We're pilgrims here. We're passing through. But thank God, there is a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Jesus Christ is there already. And there he's preparing a place for every one of his own people. And whenever he comes again to judge the world in righteousness, that judgment will hold no fear for those who are truly Christian, because they've already passed from death to life. Whenever we stand before Christ in the judgment, as we surely will, it will not be for condemnation because of our unbelief and our disobedience and our rejection of Christ. Rather, we will stand before him in the judgment to receive our reward for our faithfulness in well-doing. Far from hearing the judge's condemnation, we will receive the judge's commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. To those people, Jesus will say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And let's remember, Christ is already in that kingdom, and he has it already and prepared. And when he comes again, it will be to receive his people unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. And the wonder of that place, the glory of that place, the splendor of that place, the beauty of that place, we can only faintly grasp with these minds of ours. And certainly no words of ours can adequately describe it. But it's there, and it's real. And neither age, nor sickness, nor weakness, nor death can rob heaven's citizens of its glory and its bliss and its pleasure. That's the provision Jesus makes. The fourth thing, the pathway Jesus provides. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The beauty of heaven, the glory of heaven, may well be beyond our powers of mind to conceive and beyond the ability of our words to describe. But this much I do know, I want to be there. And I know this also, every one of us wants to be there as well. We all intend to be in heaven. Jesus tells us how to get there. I'm the way. He's the way from man to God. He's the way from earth to heaven. And he's a truth, the truth about a holy God, the truth about sin, the truth about God's way of salvation, the truth about a lovely Savior, Jesus himself. And he's a life. Life that is life eternal is to be found in Jesus Christ alone. You want to be in heaven? Then come to Jesus Christ. It's as easy as that, and yet it is as profound as that. Come to Christ, repenting of your sin, abandoning that sin, entrusting your soul to his care. Come to Christ, loving him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Come to him, seeking to live in obedience to him as Lord. Come to Christ like that, and I promise you, you will be in heaven. Indeed, it's not my promise, it's his. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. Christ is the way to God. He's the road that wends its way to heaven. And if we travel along that road, then we'll be in heaven. But let's note this. It's the only road. It's Jesus himself who says so. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is but one way to God, and that way is Christ. One road that leads to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ and his finished work. That's the pathway that Jesus provides. Now let me, in closing, draw out the implications of Jesus' teaching here. Number one, what Jesus says gives us a hope that will encourage us in our living. This life is not the only life that there is. There is a life eternal beyond this life. This world is not the only world that there is. There is an eternal world beyond this world. And sometimes, let's face it, life in this world is rough and tough. Sometimes it's harsh and cruel. Sometimes it's sad and lonely. But in that other world that is to come, none of these terrible things exist. They are not known there. There, all is pleasure, all is bliss. There, all is joy, all is singing. Such a hope is a great encouragement to us in our living, because we're not living for this world and time alone. Second, what Jesus says assures us that our labor for Christ is not in vain. Sometimes we feel it is. Sometimes we imagine our service for Christ is useless. We're getting nowhere. We're doing no good. My friends, let's remember that whenever Jesus Christ comes back again to judge our world in righteousness, it's not success he's after. It's faithfulness. Have we been faithful in our calling? Whatever that calling may be, however humble it may appear to us, however lowly it may appear to us, he doesn't reward success, but faithfulness. Do you remember the terms of his commendation? Well done, good and successful servant. No. Well done, good and faithful servant. My friends, be faithful. Don't be lazy in the Lord's work. Don't be discouraged by lack of success. Be faithful, because your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Third, what Jesus says comforts us concerning our dead in Christ. All of us, I'm sure, have already got links with heaven. Godly father, godly mother, godly spouse, godly child, friend, brother, sister, whatever. They're already there. They see the King in his beauty. They are free from all of the afflictions that bothered them on earth. They possess now a body like unto his glorious body. And they rejoice there in their glorious Savior. And whenever we know that our loved ones are in heaven with Christ, doesn't that comfort our broken hearts? And fourth, what Jesus says stirs us all up to be sure of heaven. Because we don't all get to heaven naturally. And we don't all get to heaven eventually. There are some who preach that kind of thing. There are certainly many who believe that kind of thing. And there are multitudes upon multitudes in our 21st century who hope that that will be the case, that all of us some way, somehow, will get to heaven eventually. My friends, that is not so. And to believe that is to believe a falsehood. If we want to get to Belfast from a hockle, there are two things that we've got to do. We've got to decide that we want to go. And then second, we've got to set out on that road that will bring us to Belfast. Vague desires to get us to Belfast will never get us there. If we want to get to heaven, we've got to decide that we want to go there. Sadly, we can go to hell naturally, but we can never go to heaven naturally. And we've got to set out on that road that will bring us to heaven. And that road is Jesus Christ. Vague desires will never bring us to heaven. If we never come to Christ, if we never entrust our soul to him, if we never ask him to forgive us our sin, if we never receive God's pardon, if we never have the gift of Christ's perfect righteousness, we'll never be in heaven. But if we come to Christ seeking forgiveness, finding forgiveness, given a divine righteousness, then we'll be in heaven. And we'll be glad that we did what we did to bring us there. We all know that old hymn. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Very easy to sing that. It's a good tune. We love to sing it. But do you know that to be true concerning your soul today? And know it for certain that you'll be there in heaven, the place where Jesus is, the Father's house. The promise Jesus gives, I'll come again. And that's the only thing that's lying in the future as far as the whole drama of redemption is concerned. The provision Jesus makes, I go to prepare a place for you. And the pathway Jesus provides, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. May all of us know that life that's to be found in Christ. Let's pray together.